Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Thanks, Cards Against Humanity. And if you'd like to help out the Nerdalogs, check out their page on patreon.com. Clayton's not here, so he can't pretend to be the robot Patreon. Sorry, listeners. I'm really sorry. Okay, that's it. Here's the episode.
Everybody, welcome to a very special back in Clayton's basement episode of Talking Games.
Yeah!
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm so comfortable, Tim.
I know you didn't have to leave your apartment for this episode.
That is my dream come true.
It reminds me of the days when we used to do episodes like right after you'd eaten a burrito down here.
It would smell like it. And I'd be kind of like sweaty. Sweatier, I should say.
Yeah. Clayton, we're here on Memorial Day weekend. Our friend Kellen is celebrating his birthday up in Montreal, is that right?
Your guess is as good as mine, because I don't remember. But he did.
You've also blocked all of his social media as well.
I don't care for his political opinion. Him versus Ryan Benn, don't care for it. Wait, it wasn't Ryan.
It was Grabowski, right?
Ryan Benn got in there.
Was acting as like a moderator for
that
debate.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grabowski.
So Kellen is not with us. It's just Clayton and I. Normally do an ad read, but I'm going to do that later. You don't need to know that, audience. As far as you know, the ad read was at the top.
They're talking about the past, Tim. You're stuck back there.
But Clayton, what have you been playing lately?
I have been playing. Okay, so I started Nier. NIER.
Oh, I don't know it.
It's some PlayStation 3 game that a lot of people really liked, and I think it's getting like a re-release or something.
Oh,
so
okay.
Everyone got like really excited about it. I was like, oh, you know, I have a copy of this just sitting around. I think I had gotten it on Amazon or for a birthday or something. I was like, this doesn't interest me at all. And I started playing it, and boy, was I right.
Oh, really?
I did not get very far. I was like, oh, I do not. I don't give a shit. Yeah. It's Square Enix, too.
Yeah.
But it's in that same time period where they're making, like, The Lost Odyssey and those games where I was just sort of like, I don't like this.
So
I don't care
like
for what you're trying to do.
Is it a JRPG?
I think it's an action JRPG.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I really, truly, like, don't feel like I'm going to be going back to it. I might if... there are moments of desperation sometimes.
Sure.
Where it's like, you know, I want to play something on the PlayStation.
You didn't pick up Overwatch, did you?
No.
Okay.
People are asking me about it, though.
Yeah. It looks good.
I'm sure it is great.
It's not really my game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about it that I felt about Titanfall.
Okay.
Because I like Titanfall a lot, but after like 5 days of playing it a bunch, I was like, I don't think I'm getting anything new out of this. And I was right. I tried going back to it like a month later, and
yeah.
I was like, ugh, who cares? Like
that was like Xbox One's big thing starting off, right?
Yes. Yeah. And was really fun, I will say.
But there was no single player campaign, right? It was just
really
multiplayer.
Yeah. And even the multiplayer had like story stuff in there.
Oh,
and
but
it was so, like, I didn't understand what was going on at any point. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's pretty rough, like, for a single-player experience.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know that much about Overwatch, but it sounds like same sort of thing, so.
Yeah.
Oh, and I played a bunch of Witcher 3.
So to get ready for?
Yeah, I'm, like, getting jazzed back up. Well, also, they changed a bunch of stuff in a recent, like, update.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm, like, trying to get used to, like, a new menu system, and it's better, but I'm also like, oh, man, they scaled some stuff differently. I gotta check what's going on here. Like,
did you have the same experience I had going back to it where you had to redevelop your Witcher reflexes?
Yes.
Yes, me too.
100%.
Like, a little bit of the muscle memory was there, but I'm not good enough to beat this new DLC yet.
That's how I feel, too.
Yeah.
And I was on New Game Plus anyway, so I was like, well, I'll get to, like, a point further in the story where it's like, all right, now I can branch off and do this other thing. But I'm so excited. We are on, let's see here.
Clayton's got a countdown clock.
It's about 2 hours and 22 minutes.
Is that really all it is?
Yep. It's getting released a little bit early, at least from what Steam has told me.
And it's only
Steam might be lying.
Was it, I don't know, $10 or $20?
I've got the season pass when I bought Witcher 3 because I knew I would love it so much.
Great, rich guy. Jesus.
Well, I knew the value was going to be there for me.
Well, I'm not a one percenter, so I've been buying it as I come. Actually paying more, now that I think of it.
Oh, God.
I am excited for that. I have... listeners, I've just moved in with my girlfriend this weekend, so I've not had a ton
of... Hey, all right, everybody. Thank you.
He did it.
It's a big move for old Tim Dunn here.
I've not had a ton of time to play games. What I have been playing on mobile is this game 999. It was on DS originally, but now it's a visual novel on iOS, and it is... The story is really cool, but the fact that to compress it onto iOS, they had to take all the puzzles out, so it's just text and, like, big decisions, and it is unbearable in a lot of ways.
I tried playing a game like that one time, I was just like, what's happening? But that's the bird one was like that, too.
Oh, yes, you're totally right.
What was that?
My Hatori boyfriend or something.
Hateful boyfriend.
Because
I thought it was hateful.
Hateful boyfriend. But yeah.
This week. In the improv scene, it was hateful boyfriend.
Just hateful boyfriend. So the story of this thing is you wake up amnesia.
Ooh.
Right? That old trope. Strike one. That bad boy's there. you wake up on this, cruise ship, and you are locked in your room, and you don't know who you are, and you meet up with seven other people, like, in the ballroom or something like that, and you get a message over the loudspeaker that's like, hey, so you're playing a game, and in this game, you have to go through these doors, all of you have a wristband connected to your arm, and the digital route, whatever... only so many of you can move through these doors at a given time. If you mess it up, a bomb goes off that you have in your stomach. And
that sounds like a cool puzzle.
It's a cool puzzle. But you don't. If you can do the puzzles,
you can't do any puzzles. Yeah, right.
So you're basically so just reading the dialogue, or just like going through it as fast as you can. In my case lately, and making decisions about who goes in what room. And I finished my first playthrough because it encourages multiple playthroughs, and everybody got murdered.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah.
Turns out that's the only ending.
So I'm going back, switching up who goes in what rooms to see what I can find out. It's interesting in that regard, but just a lot of reading.
Yeah.
Which I would love some gameplay. Man, oh, man.
It's almost as if you kind of felt like something was missing.
Right.
That's so stupid.
Like some puzzles or some gameplay or something like that.
Good? Is it recording us?
We're good.
Okay, good.
I'm just double checking listeners. You're doing okay. I'm doing okay. We're all good.
We're all having fun here.
Yeah. But we should talk about this. Little news item.
Okay.
No Man's Sky. Got pushed back.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Clayton, what do you think is the deal with No Man's Sky at this point?
I really don't know. I keep hoping it's going to be just as good, but I don't know, man. I'll just, like, think about it sometimes and be like, what do these aliens want you to do? Like, what are they going to ask you to do? And is it going to be just like, hey, man, like, can you go discover this quadrant for us? And it's like... Yo, go fuck yourself, man. I'm not doing it.
Well, I think they talked about in the development that, like, at first they were like, it's just an exploration game, and then people may have playtested it and been like, you need, like, some kind of a goal or a story, which I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, from what I've heard, the goal is to get to the center of the universe, and something happens there. I don't know what it is. But some good happens.
The developers walk out of it. They're just like, thanks for finding this. This is the developer room.
Thank you. It's like the end of Chrono Trigger. We meet the developers.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. They're like talking about like textures and stuff. You're like, I don't give a shit, man. Get out of here.
I worry that it's maybe, I don't know, maybe they're like reinventing the gameplay now. Maybe they're adding more stuff in or something like that. I don't know what the deal is.
Microtransaction. But... You fly up to a planet. It's like, here's, all right, 50 cents. you can land on this planet.
Yeah.
Fuck off, man.
God damn it.
I found another pay-to-play planet. PTPP.
PTPP.
That's gross.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like you're going to run into trouble if you create anything that's that massive. Like, I know that all the planets are procedurally generated, but...
I was just imagining they just turned it all on. Like, out of that day when it got delayed, they turned everything on and it just totally crashed. And they're like, all right, we got to start over.
Someone's like, just all right, crying.
Let's push it back. Like a month. And it's like, okay, do you think that's going to be enough time? We have to start completely over.
We have to build a universe. I'm sure we'll be fine. Like God. You know.
I'm sure I remember most of what we did. I think we'll be fine. I think we're good. Just, yeah. Okay, you stand right over there. I remember you were standing there when we started. All right, let's just try to recreate the whole process.
Come on, we can do this, you guys.
Just because it was a total accident the first time that we figured it out. Oh, man. I really don't know. I'm not even nervous anymore. I've just already kind of, like, started to let go of the dream that it'll ever happen.
I've been in kind of the same place of like, what's the game from Shadow of the Colossus people that I was...
Oh, Last Guardian?
Last Guardian.
Yeah.
It's not there yet, but it's getting there, in my mind.
It really is starting to. I don't know. And also, like, games get delayed all the time.
Yeah,
right. BioShock Infinite got delayed.
Your Mass Effect 3s. Your, it happens. And you'd rather it be a good game and get pushed back, but, yes. You know.
But it is, it's just weird because they resisted putting, like, a release date for long. And then it's like, maybe this is just why. Or maybe it's like... Listen, this is just the beginning of why we didn't want to put a release date on this.
We
it's
have
not
no idea what we're
until,
doing.
Yeah. we still only have that one gameplay like video that we've been using forever. Like, we still don't have anything past that one video.
Right.
Oh, God. It makes me so nervous, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't help it. I just don't trust that it's
going to
be good.
We need this, you guys.
I'm too cynical to just accept, like, all right, it's going to be amazing. We're just going to have to wait a little bit longer. I'm like, no, I'm way past that.
Yeah.
I need them to, like, come out with, like, a video of, like, all right, here's what, like, look, there's a guy playing it.
Here's the whole
intro.
We're
okay. Yeah. Just show me, like a sheet of ship models, and it's like, okay. All right. I believe there's more to this game. Oh, God. I don't know.
Clay, that's your new nickname.
Okay, all right.
We're recording this on Memorial Day, and another thing we want to talk about was some war games.
All right.
Do you feel like,
Valkyria Chronicles is the most realistic war game?
Do you know why I thought of that? It's because I remember thinking that's one of the only games that shows concentration camps.
Why is that a game that feels like it can do that?
I know, because it's such a cutesy game overall, but then to show concentration camps, because I can't think of a single other one. We're going to talk about, like, more general war stuff, but...
Valkyria Chronicles is just where I think my mind goes to is, like, this is, like, patently a war game.
Yeah.
It's just a game about fighting a war.
Yeah,
and it doesn't even seem that big of a, like, hey, war is wrong.
Yeah.
It's more just like, listen... We gotta win.
And everybody's having a generally good time while it's happening.
Yeah. There's so much cheering and, like, smiling and
everybody's
intro.
Cute. You don't see anybody, like, throwing up.
Yeah.
You know? Like...
No one's like, hey, I gotta, like, visit the shrink, otherwise I'm gonna, like, blow somebody's brains up.
No one's, like, binge drinking or... Yeah.
Yeah, it's always like, all right, we've come into a town, there's, like, a bunch of new recruits.
Yeah.
It's like, these are... How old are these people? And it's like, hey, man, don't worry about it.
You're right. Everybody's like 17.
And they're just gung-ho about getting out there and blowing up some tanks. Great game, though. Really, really fun game.
I mean, I'm going to pick it up again, that HD remake. But are you a fan of war games?
It's a good question.
I feel like there's so many different subsets within...
I feel that way now, too. Like, I love, like, a squad-based shooter.
Sure.
Like, those were super fun, like, just getting a chance to, like, go back and play some of, like, the Battlefield games and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, this is fun. And there is a certain amount of, like, you know, joy I got from some of the early Call of Duty games.
Yeah, I played, like, a ton of Battlefield 1942.
Oh, yeah.
So much of it,
And it always, in those games, felt like, you know what, you're just a soldier.
Yeah.
You're just another guy. Even on a mission, sometimes, that seems very unimportant to the consequence, or to, like, the end of the war. Like, I remember just at one point being like, a bunch of, like, Polish soldiers on, like, a hilltop or something, and then a Canadian, like, brigade comes up and saves you, and everyone's, like, yelling, like, it's the Canadians! And they're super happy. And I'm like, boy, you never see this in a Hollywood movie.
No, you really don't.
A bunch of Polish soldiers
really
waiting for Canadian, like, Air Force. Like, that's so funny. I mean, it's great, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, there is a certain amount of, like, I guess nowadays I think of those as, like, the poster children for, like, we really probably shouldn't have video games because we just have kids, like, running around the battlefield, shooting and killing people.
It's like, but do you feel like that's a new opinion in your life? Because I feel like it is for me.
Yes.
Like, just much newer, yeah. Going around shooting people in the face is much weirder being 31-year-old years old than 22.
Yeah, suddenly it's like, it's like me doing it, somehow I'm like, no, I can do it because I'm cool. But then I'll, you know, like, turn around and, you know, see, like, a 10-year-old kid doing it, and I'm like, boy, that does seem weird. That shit seems like shit, something we probably shouldn't do.
Yeah.
It's just he's looking down the barrel of, a sniper rifle or something at some, unarmed diplomats, like, talking, and you're like, seems like maybe this isn't the best idea.
Yeah. That'd be a crazy game if, like, you were in some war game, and you're, let's say you're a sniper, and every time you kill somebody, you see, like, a flash of, like, their whole life. That's a game mechanic I haven't seen.
That I would love that. And you just... Like, you spend one day in the life of every person you kill on the screen. So it's like, as you're, like, plunging the knife into their neck and they're making, like, the face, you just, like,
boom, you see their first love, their first breakup in, like, elementary school or something like that.
Yeah, or, like, a little kid, like, walking in on, like, his parents, like, fighting, and then they turn into a, like, what are we doing? Like, Brandon's here. And it's, like, actually, like, a sweet family moment. And then he pulls back out, you're just stabbing him in the neck. That's the kind of game I like now as a responsible adult.
If anybody's listening, we have the copyright on that, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That idea. That's ours.
I'm sure you're all clamoring for it. But that's the thing, is, like, games like This War of Mine... nowadays are the ones that I'm like, yeah, this is way more interesting.
And that's never something we would have gotten on, like, the Super Nintendo or even the PlayStation.
No way, yeah.
It's too thought-provoking. Like, it's too bizarre and it's too real. Like, for, you know, like, trying to think of what's the procedural, like, drama? Have you heard of this? It's like a Swedish show called The Bridge, where it starts with two people that have been sewn together, one half of each
This
bridge. Yeah. Like, that's fucking dark. We wouldn't have seen that on, like, ABC. Like, we need this new fucked up generation to watch shit like that.
Yeah, the kids who, like, grew up watching, like, The Wire, and they're like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, right. This is too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me The Bridge. Jesus Christ. That's, I mean, that's the thing, too, is, like, in replaying Witcher 3... I find myself more and more, like, seeing these, like, peasants who are just getting the shit kicked out of them by, like, two armies that aren't even in the middle of fighting.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, between battles. And I'm like, boy, this is something you never think about when you're, you know, like, in these crazy, grand, epic RPGs.
The victims of that war.
Yeah, who are completely, they're, like, no allegiance. They're like, nobody has ever paid attention to this little shit town until now. And now I have to, like, deal with, like, soldiers coming in here, like, killing people or beating them up or, like, you know, like, stealing our women. It's wrong. And that's what I think, like, what some games kind of miss out on is that, like, okay, but there's stories in there. There's, like,
You
can pull, like, the fantasy elements into that, too. Like, at one point... In Witcher 3, one of my favorite missions is where you run across these, like, total, like, goober villagers who are, like, praying to a god that is in this, like, ruined church. And it turns out to be a fat demon who, like,
I remember that one, because I killed that guy, and it was seen as the wrong move.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's like, but they have nothing. They have nobody.
Because then their villagers are like, you killed our god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to them, that's, like...
The only thing
that fake god was like,
ugh, that's such a
worth having. Yeah. I've killed him this time around, too. I think the first time I sort of made a deal with him where it's like, listen, like...
Be nice to these people.
Be nice to these people.
Yeah.
And then this time I'm like, this fucking fat freeloading demon.
I have the same feeling. He's just been taking advantage of people.
Yeah. So I kill his ass, and then they're like, oh my god, like, you can't just do that? Like, here, we have to, like, bring out more offerings now. And it's like,
I specifically remember that mission bumming me up. Yeah.
And it's really, but that's the thing is, like, you don't get to see those stories as much in those, you know, like, running around and, like, shooting Nazis games.
Yeah, right.
Exactly, see that, like, Castle Wolfenstein?
No. Do you feel like XCOM is a war game? Or, like, does that fit more into just, like, sci-fi?
I think it's a war game.
Yeah.
Because it's a total war kind of. Total War is a different game. But it is, though. Like, it's everything. You're throwing, like, all your resources at this this battle, which is really kind of like what Civilization does right, is... Like, it's like, okay, when you're at war, like, it's kind of all-consuming. But this other stuff is still going on.
Yeah. I mean, some of my best, like, war game experiences are probably in Civilization, come to think of it. Like, I still remember, like... epic, like, long wars where I thought I was really going to lose for a while in Civilization.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. Like, you, I don't know how you play in Civilization, but I'm like, I'm always, military stuff is the last thing on my mind. I'm starting up. I'm always like, science and let's get people fresh water and stuff like that. And then I'm
more compassionate leader than me.
Because I've let my, military be so crappy.
Yeah,
that's then people invade me, and I have to immediately get a military together.
That's it is like a sobering thought, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
how much it's like, oh yeah, that is exactly what other nations would do. It's like, well, you have nothing.
Yeah,
but you have all this stuff. I was taking that from you.
Like, I'm not saying it's great that we spend all this money on defense, but I'm saying, like, I get it sometimes when I play Civilization.
I usually, military is, like, number one for me when I'm starting up. Yeah, because I'm a big, capitalizing on the bandits and stuff. Killing them, getting experience for, like, units that down the line are going to be, like, my best guys. But that's my MO is like, all right, I'm going to build like three like warriors and kind of spread out a little bit. And also that's doubles as sort of like scouting and expansion stuff.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, I use science purely towards the military
angle. Yeah,
it's like, I'm looking for gunpowder. Once I get gunpowder,
you are all
like,
fucked.
Game over, buddy. Yeah. Like at that point I just start shoving the younger, like, the city-states and all that stuff, I just make them all follow me and start, like, shoving nations around. Like, it's like, hey, these guys have, like, dick for military. They're all using spears, and I got, like, cannons.
Are you, like, the type of player that you'll park, like, units on people's borders just to be like, hey, man, let's keep it in line?
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, at any point, I can just, like, cross over there and just, like, kill these people who are, like, you know, just like, oh, a farm, like, mine now, man.
I don't think it was until, like, Civ 5, I want to say, that started to become a game mechanic where people would be like, hey, you have units on our border.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's kind of scary. Can you not?
Yeah, we can see them. I'm looking right at them. They're looking at me. They're just holding the telephone waiting. Like,
They're just there. They're just hanging out. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah, I like to play just a little bit aggressive in those games where it's like, hey man, like, I'm glad you brought this to my attention, but I'm afraid I'm just not going to be able to help you out. Just, okay, well...
Perhaps if you paid us a tribute, I could see to some of our units retreating.
I think this United Nations thing that's about to get passed, I'm not super crazy about it. Don't know about you.
Yeah.
How about we... put the kibosh on that bad boy.
I don't know about this anti-slavery addendum.
I certainly don't care for all the musicians you keep sending over here, giving my people ideas. That is my favorite way to win, though, is like...
culture?
When you get like a city that's just like, hey, we're gonna leave. We're gonna join these guys. Something about that is the funniest thing to me.
Yeah.
I can just imagine the people at home like, god damn it, you can't just...
Let's
get our military and send them over.
They have great music. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. But
and these blue jean pants are way better than the, like, spun wool we have.
Yeah.
But god damn it, I just don't... I do not want a city just leaving our country. be like, just, you know, like Albuquerque, just being like, hey guys, we're done. We're in Mexico.
Yeah, we like their. I'm just thinking how weird that is. Like if Quebec or something was like, look, we love those Avengers movies, so we're gonna be with America now. So,
I mean, have you seen these things? Sure, the CGI up top, it's a little jarring.
Sure,
but once you kind of get into it, yeah, your eyes adjust.
But I want to know what Black Panther's deal is, you know?
Do you feel like, because we talked about this a little bit with This War of Mine, but do you feel like there are now games that, you know, show the side of war that's like All Quiet on the Western Front, or like the really, really disgusting parts of war.
Yeah, the kind of bleak. Yes. And from the soldier's perspective.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's a good question. I do feel like often, because you're playing as like the chosen one and stuff like that, I honestly don't know. There's not a ton that show that side of it as much.
I feel like I've gotten so little of that over the years. Nothing has made me think more of as anything but glorious, the exception being This War of Mine.
Yeah.
There's got to be some other examples. What's the, like, no, but that's too cutesy. I was going to say the World War One game that we played.
Yeah.
But it's all puzzle-based.
That's a tough one, because it's like there's some stuff in there that's like, Kind of that way, but a lot of it is like...
It's too cutesy.
It's too dolled up. It's like, I really do kind of want to see... And actually, some that are really... You know, one that's really fucked up is Spec Ops The Line.
Yes, that's a great one.
Yeah. But even then, you know, like, you're not a common soldier. You're still one of these, like, you know, elite, like, fighting machines that never has to, like, stop and eat or, like...
No, but you're at least doing, like... They're doing, like, Heart of Darkness there, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And that shows sort of the... A lot of the times, the decisions that are made in haste in wartime, where it's like, listen, we only really have one objective, and it's to win. And it's like, okay, cool. And then you see, like, what you did to win and what it does to people, and it's like, huh... Maybe should have sat on that one a little bit. Maybe should have done, like, a smidge more research.
I mean, that's one where it feels like, your actions have consequences, for sure. And one that I was thinking about when we talked about Heart of Darkness, you remember in Mass Effect 2 where you meet Jacob's dad?
Yes.
In that fucked up mission... Where he has, like, fathered an entire planet's civilization or something like that.
Yeah, he basically has, like, taken over the colony that sprung out of the ship he was on.
Yeah.
And it's, like, force and, like, brutality sort of wins out. Oh, man. That's a really good mission, but
that,
it's tough.
Yeah, that is, like, a really dark mission in that almost feels out of place in Mass Effect 2, but it works.
Yeah.
And
everyone's, it's like, all right, now we gotta help this Krogan, like, do his adulthood test, and you're like, all right. Yeah.
It's not nearly as dark as
I just had to talk a guy down from shooting his own dad.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird day.
I mean, I could have let him, you know.
I wouldn't have felt bad either.
Yeah.
Every time I've gone Renegade, that's the mission I'm, like, the most looking forward to. Like,
Yeah,
I enjoy when Jacob takes him out and turns to you, and you're just like, all right, let's go. Oh, yeah. It's you did what you needed to do. I got nothing to say. That's
I would love so to play good. The Garrus mission where he is doing the sniper stuff, and he's going to take vengeance on the guy who killed all his buddies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But because you have to tell him, please don't do this, like, 3 or 4 times before he's finally like, okay, fine.
And you're refusing to move because you're, like, in the shot.
Right.
And it's like, you can take the shot, but I'm gonna try to stop you, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. That's a great mission.
It really is.
But, man, oh, man. Yeah, again, one of those where I'm like, what is it? Like, I killed 100 people this morning. Like, why do I care if this guy lives or dies?
I was just thinking about that with Uncharted 4, which... Okay, spoilers for Uncharted 4. We're not going to get into it, because we've been talking about Uncharted 4, like, for weeks. I don't know if we're going to get around to it, but...
One of these days, am I right?
Yeah.
Oof. It's too busy.
So when you're talking to... Boy, we are really going to spoil it right now. Hey, Kellen, don't listen to this right now.
Yeah, all right. Come back in 5, 10
5 minutes.
Five minutes.
When you're talking to your daughter, and you're sort of letting her in for the first time on what their lives used to be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm...
it's funny to me that there's, you obviously wouldn't cover it then, but like, that there's not a moment where it's like, yeah, your dad killed probably like 1,500 people.
Yeah. He is a mass murderer.
Like, we had to move here outside of, you know,
civilization.
We had to really leave.
Any drifter that tries to walk up, your dad just shoots him dead.
We don't have a bank account. No one can track us.
All these guns, the serial numbers filed off.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
My God, that is, it is really brutal to think about, yeah. But I just don't understand the, like, because I was playing, like, Red Dead Redemption recently. All right, we're done with the spoilers.
Yeah.
Checking back in.
Wasn't even 5 minutes.
Yeah. Couple minutes. In Red Dead Redemption, there's a couple times where it's like, do you spare this guy?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, why would I just killed like 50 people to get to him.
Right.
And
why,
like,
is this guy any worse than, or yeah, any
it's like,
better?
If you kill him, you'll be just like him. It's like, I think I already am just like him.
Yeah.
If I was gonna be.
I murdered all those people. I get that they shot at me first. Sometimes they didn't.
Yeah. It's like, I had to make a somewhat selfish decision of staying alive.
Yeah.
So sorry, everyone. But now if I don't kill him, it's almost like, yeah, all these other people, like, their lives were totally meaningless.
Right.
It's like, at least they died defending a guy, and it's like, all right, but, you know, like, they did their thing, but it wasn't good enough, and now I kill him, and it's like, well, he's just gonna go kill more people anyway. I don't know, I've lost a lot of sympathy for the spare the villain, like, sort of thing lately.
Interesting.
Which I feel like that a lot of those war games do kind of, like, try to push you to, like, hey, man, you can't just make the logical choice. You have to, like, make the emotional one.
And the good guy choice.
Yeah.
In my mind, when you said that, I was like, oh, but if you kill those guys, you're not going to get some dumb bonus, like,
exactly.
An hour later.
And that's sort of a weird, like, when you flip the script on it and you do that thing of, like,
yeah,
hey, you have to make, like, a heartless choice, and you make the heartless choice, it's like, wow.
Oof.
Pretty fucked up. Here's a bunch of money. Or something, and you're like, oh, I feel worse now.
And it's like that Bioshock 1 decision of taking the energy out of the girls or sparing them or whatever. You
whatever.
Really can
not
break
killing
it down.
A little girl.
Yeah, you can break it down, like, in terms of min-maxing your stats or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to say it, if you spare the girls, you get a bigger bonus.
You get more,
And I'm like, okay, it's fine, but I almost feel like it's like...
You should have to suffer, because doing the right thing sucks sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm much more, like, I get that more as I've gotten older, too. And these war games do a great job of that, like, oh, yeah, you're the nicest guy in the world, not robbing an old couple to get food, you know? It's like,
right. Now
you can watch your people starve, and it's like, what am I doing in this game? Like, who am I trying to protect? Me? Them? I don't understand.
In terms of games like a Mass Effect or a StarCraft, do you feel like, when we talk about war, like, is it...
Oh, I didn't even think about it. Yeah, like,
I was thinking StarCraft as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those big, sprawling...
Boy, where sacrifice is the name of the game.
Yeah,
like,
they're not... They're just numbers at that point. Like,
individual units are
anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It is really weird sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when they'll introduce, like, the hero system, and you'll have, like, one guy who you're, like, protecting by throwing,
right.
Waves of Marines, like, to protect this one dude. You're like, Jesus Christ, okay, cool, man.
Yeah. I've not really played games like that in a long time, but I feel like... There's a huge community of people that play those on PC.
Yes.
Like Crusader Kings and stuff like that.
Well, Crusader Kings is even more complicated. So
yes.
What that is like, you're like trying to breed with, like, the right people to, like, make alliances and stuff.
Yeah, right.
That shit is, like, it's so complicated, it makes my head spin. I'm like, I don't get this.
You have to make, like, deep, long-term political decisions and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and your advisors are like... Total numbnuts. They know nothing. So that's the problem with that game. I'm like, I feel like if I was going to do this, I would want the best people working with me. And these PC, like, or NPCs who are just like, it's like, you should look at an alliance with this family, my lord. And you're just like, Oh my god. Dude, yeah. How? Give me some details. Let's problem solve.
Have those games ever been what you're into? Because I've never been able to get too into them. Civilization is about as complex as I get with
Civ is great. Yeah. I've tried some of the space ones that get more complicated.
Sure.
90% of the time I just like will put a bunch of stuff on auto because I'm like, I don't get this. You figure it out, game.
Yeah, right.
But then it feels like I'm just sitting there watching it play.
Yeah. Like, this totally.
Is not even doing anything. It's just I'm like a figurehead. They're like, should we go to war? We really should. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, well, can you give me more detail? Not really.
No, just, sorry.
You should have done it yourself. Then you'd know. It's like, oh, I wasn't paying attention to that.
But when you're playing like a StarCraft or a Mass Effect, do you feel like them being these like space monsters takes the edge off killing people a little
bit? Oh, yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Or like when there's robots... That's like go-to, like the G.I. Joe type thing, where it's like, okay, we can shoot them or kill them because they're like robots. That's fine.
Or like Wolverine's claws in the old X-Men cartoon. You know, we break them out during robot fights.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Sentinels are here. We can send in Wolverine.
Oh, thank God. No blood on TV.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, oh, a bunch of Morlocks are here. They're looking for Wolverine. It's like, have Cyclops like stun blast them or whatever. I don't understand. There's like a dial on like his thing, his visor, which I think is the funniest thing because it's like, at what point is it like lethal? How much is it like fine tuned to be like, whoops, oh, well, you know, that's my bad. I fired it right before I got to non-lethal.
Yeah. Or is it just most of the time just on like 90 mile an hour fastball? In my mind, that seems like it.
But then we'll shoot a sentinel and, like, rip its arm off. And you're like, what the fuck? Makes no sense. Comic books make no sense.
Man, fuck those comic books.
I don't know why Toronto joined the United States just for the comic book.
But you and I both are big fans of one particular war game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about Dynasty Warriors, although sure. But...
Now, there's a war game where it's treated with respect.
You really treat every death like a big deal.
It is amazing how it's like, huh, I killed, and it tells you the number. It'll be like 1,100 people. It's like
in one level.
In one battle.
Wow.
I should really take a shower.
Break a sweat.
Yeah. And they all look the same to you because the sprites are repeated. And also because at what point do you give any humanity to these people? You're just mowing down with a giant spear. Oh, my God.
But this I speak, of course, of Suikoden 2.
Yes.
Our first favorite war game.
Still maybe the best.
What better episode to retouch on an old classic?
Yes.
JRPG. But at the same time, you still get to do, like, big sprawling battles in its, like, you know, cutesy.
Its infancy, yeah.
Yes, yeah. As best as you could do on the PlayStation.
It is weird that they have these high-pitched voices when they, like, go to fight each other. They're like, like this rabble. And then, like, you see a bunch of them get killed. And it's like, oh, Jesus.
Just laying there.
Are those children? It's like it's the Child's Crusade.
Yeah.
It's like, Suikoden 2 is still the best. Yeah. I don't know. I still think about it as, like, oh, yeah, really, in that one, the war is the enemy.
Yeah, and you feel really hopeless for, like, a long time in that fight.
Being sort of chased from, like, town to town.
Yeah, you're largely just retreating for, like, the first half of the game.
It reminds me a lot of, what they talk about what Rome was like when Hannibal invaded. Like, the army just gets smashed immediately, so, like, he just would go from town to town just, like, looting and killing people and stuff. You know, it's war.
Recruiting other barbarians and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my fellow barbarian class warriors. But yeah, Luca Blight has obviously like more the like totally slash and burn through these villages, but it's really interesting to like see it from the perspective of like refugees basically.
Yeah.
Like, running from town to town.
Because, like, you would go visit villages after Luca comes through and they're just burnt, you know, down, and people are it's so sad, like, people trying to start these villages up again.
Yeah. So that you can still have your precious shops to buy from. It does kind of feel bad when you're like, it's like, I'm just browsing. I'm not really looking to buy anything. It's like, really? Because my house burned down.
Right. I'd really like it if you bought something.
Yeah, maybe just... You know, a couple of potch so the money isn't
That's one thing I actually really like about the original Wild Arms. I don't know if you remember this, but your main city gets, like, burnt to the ground in, like, the prologue, essentially.
Right.
And then, as you visit, you can donate money to the reconstruction efforts, and you get things, of course.
Oh, sure.
But you'll donate a certain amount of money, and, like, a bridge is fixed, which is, like, a really cool
game
mechanic.
You almost never see that, too.
No, normally, I would love to see that in, like, a Dragon Age or something like that.
Most of the time you do just kind of, it's like, and we leave this place behind forever.
Yeah.
It's like, really? My family, like, grew up here. Yeah. I wouldn't mind saying, like,
I'm the princess of this place. Yeah.
And why don't you fuck off for a little bit, huh? Go to the moon or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a... In the... What was it? Final Fantasy 4 or 2 or whatever you want to think of it as. You are the one who's kind of like the bad guy up top.
Yeah, right.
Which has now become a huge trope. But it is kind of interesting that, like...
The Black Knight, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cecil.
Yes.
And Kane, the dragoon.
Right.
But in the beginning, you, like, go to the Village of Mist and burn it down and, like, kill, like... Yeah. The mother of one of your other characters later on. It's gotta be weird.
Yeah, traveling just hanging together. Out. Yeah.
But, and I always thought that was kind of one of those things, like, man, that's a little much, you know? And it's like, because they're not even at war.
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea there, is that Baron is just, like, expanding out and, like, tearing down villages and stuff like that. But you never stay in the villages. They're always like,
no, you're
one,
right.
You stop there briefly, and then it's like, well, we solved your problem with, like, a werewolf or whatever. It's like, cool, we're still, like, dirt poor and everyone's dead. And it's like, well, so long. I said that you're in, you know?
Yeah, right. No, I mean, the only time I can think of, like, dealing with infrastructure in a game is, like, Fable 3, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But no one liked that, also.
Yeah, I guess they don't really want to get involved in the reconstruction effort.
Yeah.
Boy, it would be just... kind of a bummer if that's, it's like, all right, we defeated the boss. Now we're all just going to go home and rebuild. It's like, all right, am I done with the game? It's like, no.
No, dude.
This is chapter 2.
Yeah.
That is a little bit how I felt when I replayed Red Dead Redemption, where he, like, goes back to the ranch, and I'm like, am I just a rancher now? What's happening?
That is, like, a really weird moment, because it almost feels like the game is over.
And... Which, you can see my confusion, why I was like, does it ever end? And then it's like, you're the son, and it's like, all right, no more missions on the map, and it's like, why am I so...
What's happening?
Is the game over?
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to even remember when the credits roll. Is it after the final, like, coming out of the barn and shooting as many people as possible?
No, it's, though that scene is great.
Yeah.
It's after you duel guy who, Agent Ross or whoever. Spoiler alert for a very old game.
Look, the sequel's almost about to get announced, so...
Man, what's it... I don't know. It's an interesting, like, that's another game where it's, like, kind of dealing with the people who are, like, just living on the frontier.
Yeah, right.
You don't have a lot, and, you know, they're always, like, sort of just barely breaking even.
Yeah, and it's at an interesting time in the history of the West, too, because, like, you're seeing people put in, like, street lamps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not, like, you know, early 1800s or anything like that.
No,
like,
it's post-Civil War.
Yeah.
Post, I suppose, the, like, reservations and everything being, like, totally set up.
It's like around Downton Abbey times, but in the Wild West.
Yeah, exactly. It's, actually, you're probably, I think you're about right. Like, maybe, you know, a few years before the Titanic. Like,
yeah, right, yeah.
But, yeah, because you're so far west and you're so on the edge of civilization.
Things are still largely undeveloped.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a really smart way to do it. Like, you know, like, the railroad goes out there, but that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, unless you want to be, like, a banker or something like that in a big city. There's not a whole lot of jobs out here.
No, I don't imagine there would be.
And that's sort of how I feel about Velen and all these cities and, or these small villages in Witcher 3 a little bit. Is they're just, like, they're on the edges, like, they have, like, monsters and shit, like... Close enough that, like, their kids can see them and be like, that's a drowner! And you're just like, what the fuck, kid? Like, there's monsters everywhere. And it really feels like these people just are like, well, it's a peasant's life, huh?
Yeah.
Go out in the fields. Like, oh, God. So no wonder they turn to, like, witches and, like, monsters to, like, basically make deals with
them.
Oh,
yeah,
they're
no,
like,
sure.
Can you protect us? Because, like,
feed my kids.
Please. The soldiers are assholes.
Yeah.
At least you guys will, like, keep a deal, you know?
You look like you will kill people for money, so...
Yeah.
Do you... We did not talk much about... What is it? Blood and Wine?
Mm.
Do you think... Okay. Do you think he's gonna die in this one?
Do you I don't that's... know. I feel like that's it's hinted at, but I think Witcher 3 has such a like good ending.
Yeah.
No matter which ending you get, it feels very much like this is the conclusion of
the happy his story. Ending of Geralt. Yeah.
Exactly. So I can't imagine they're gonna like totally pull the rug out from under us. But I think what it's gonna be is like it might sort of be like how in the last one it was a little bit of a misdirect. In Hearts of Stone, you think you're, like, getting involved with this dude who's, like, a bad guy.
Do you want to tell people what just happened?
Tim just knocked some water over in my home. but don't worry, he'll be happy to clean it up, everybody. Once he finds a towel, he's got a towel. All right, we are on top of this.
We are... What were you saying, Clayton?
Oh, it's Water Disaster 2016 here in Clayton's house.
Basement episodes.
I was saying, so it's a murder mystery. I'm like, it'd be interesting if Geralt gets murdered in the first part, and then it's him trying to like...
Oh god, and if you played as, what's the girl's name?
Ciri.
God, that would be... That did crack me up, by the way. When I...
Yeah.
Ciri? Really? Okay.
Ciri, can you tell me where you are?
But yeah.
Can you show me another memory, Ciri?
If you got to play as Ciri or somebody else, but...
That's kind of... I'm hoping for something like that. Or even it might be Geralt as a ghost, like, working with one of, like, the characters who's died. I'd love if it was, like, if you've already killed him, there's a character in the game.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Spoilers for Witcher 3, I guess. Siggy Reuven or Dijkstra.
Yeah.
I would love if it was just you and him trying to solve your murder, and he's like antagonistic to you the whole time. Like, it's like, what, you even care, girl? You're the one who killed me. All I was trying to do. And you're just like, it's like, shut up, Dijkstra.
I just hope, man, I just hope there's some good new people to play cards with.
I love Gwent so much.
The getting good at Gwent again was way easier than getting good at combat.
Yeah.
Getting good at Gwent took like 10 minutes. Tops.
I was like hitting like the mouse button, the middle mouse button the other day, being like, why is, fuck, I didn't put the bomb in the right place, like, son of a bitch. Stupid game. I love it so much. I really, in replaying it, I'm like, this is one of the most like satisfying gameplay experiences.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the way the world feels like real and like fleshed out, and how as Geralt you can kind of be like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm a witcher, you're making me go get a goat.
Am I right in thinking it was on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 as well? Or was it just on the new consoles?
I think it was... I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. If it is on
I just picked it up on PC, I was so happy.
Yeah, if it is on the older ones, I bet it is a little bit stripped down. But in my mind, it's... In the sense that Mass Effect was the... For me, anyways, maybe Skyrim, was like the quintessential... PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 experience.
Yeah.
Right now, Witcher 3 feels like the experience of this generation.
Oh, totally. Consoles.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it set the bar so high that, like, when you try and go play, like, a Mad Max, or even fucking, like, some of these other games that have come out recently that are these, like, open world experiences, they feel so, like, pale and, like, an imitation of real life. Even...
Yeah.
Fallout 4, I think, was a big disappointment. It's like, these people don't feel real. Nothing feels like it matters or has consequences.
The story is nothing compared to Witcher 3. Or even...
like you have to listen to Triss get, like, fucking tortured in the next room in one scene. Right. And it's like, this is fucking fucked up, man.
Yeah. or I was going to say, even in fantasy, like... there's laundry all over the place, and I just put my hand on some underwear.
Tim just put his hand on, I believe, my girlfriend's underpants.
Okay, well, that was an accident.
We're really having a great time here in Clayton's basement. Aren't you glad for this throwback episode? Everybody, and especially Tim.
What I was going to say...
Tim looks so upset right now.
even that Lord of the Rings game that came out.
Oh, God. Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of Mordor isn't quite up to the same...
It's like, I want just a little bit more story.
The, like, taking people over part is really cool of it.
It's so fucked up that we do that in that game. Right? You're just, like, possessing people and forcing them to, like, do your bidding.
Yep.
It's like, ooh, this can't be what we want to do, right? Amazing.
But to close us out, how about this? Let's both recommend a war game. I'll go first. Guys, let me tell you, the things that we talked about and what we want out of war games, the dark stuff, this is not it. But play Command & Conquer Red Alert 2.
Mm.
That is, the opening starts out with, what's the actor's name? He's the butler in Clue.
Oh, it is Tim Curry.
Tim Curry plays the Russian, like, bad guy, and he's so goddamn funny in it. And it's got all these, like, B-movie actors, and it is the most campy war strategy game you'll ever play, but the gameplay is just solid. It's so good, so I would definitely recommend that. Clayton, what would you recommend?
You know, I'm gonna also follow a similar vein.
Sure.
And recommend a game, two games technically, because it's part of a franchise, but the one I really enjoyed, the first one is the Warhammer.
Oh!
Like the original game. I'm trying to remember exactly what it's called. But it's basically cool. Like Warhammer 20K.
Yes.
And it's especially if like you are interested in sort of like the Warcraft and all those games from back in the day, or the original StarCraft. It is one of the best executions of those with a really interesting story that can really suck you in. So I highly recommend that. And it shows maybe like the more kind of fanatical soldiers and questioning if that's like a good thing. Is it a bad thing? Can it be a good thing at times and at times be really, really bad? And those are your heroes in that game. And it makes sense that they have those opinions and those feelings, and their feelings about each other as like these sort of battle brothers is really, really compelling. So I definitely recommend the original Warhammer 20K. Or is that what it's even called?
40K?
40K?
Yeah.
It's obviously I love this game because I know the name so well. But it's you almost just say Warhammer these days.
I was gonna say James D'Amato in the One Shot podcast just did like 3 episodes of a Warhammer 40K module, and it's so good. Rogue Trader, I want to say, or something like that, but
man,
really, really cool.
Like their take on high fantasy is very, very, very satisfying and fun.
Dark too.
Yeah, pretty dark.
Yeah,
it's the realization of like aliens, like orcs just being aliens, like another life form. It's like a thing of like, ugh. Like, so we're just murdering these people like by the millions.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, we are. Okie dokie. Almost has like a Robert Heinlein kind of Starship Troopers feel.
Yeah,
really great.
Well, Clayton, anything you want to plug?
Late 90s, Wednesdays at 10:30 at IO. Always a good time. After the show last week, you could have seen a second show in which Tess Borgerding and I stood in front of IO and talked to a bunch of people we didn't know and had the best time. Tess Borgerding is the funniest person in the world. I think we should have her on the podcast, even though she's never played video games, just because she's a true delight. So come see that show and hope to stick around and watch Tess totally clown around again, because that was great. Tim, what about you?
Gosh, I'm actually going to use my plugs to talk about a former guest's project. Donate to our friend's project called Beta Males. That's John Sabine, Scott Moorhead, and Asher Perlman.
They're
doing a web series. Go on Kickstarter. Throw them a few bones.
You know, I just did that. I didn't know it was a thing until last Wednesday. Sabine was talking about it. I threw him $10 because I was like, that sounds great. And I would love to see what these guys do.
Yeah.
So.
I would even say this, just go on because their Kickstarter rewards are very funny. Just go read those.
I opted out of all of them.
I'm probably good. Just take my money.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go around and touch all the underwear in this room.
Perfect.
But
there's a lot of pairs, weirdly.
For joining us. Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
Oh no! It comes! It is! A big person!
Bye, everybody.
Those are the Lilliputians.
I got it.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today, and go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome!
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.